Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, right? Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, let's just take a moment of prayer before we get into the Word. Oh, precious Lord, we just praise you tonight, oh God. Lord, I know that I can speak for each one of us here, Father, and it's good to be in your house, Father. Lord, we've come with a purpose. Lord, we've come to bless your name, and we've come to hear from you, Father. Lord, every time we get together, every time we gather, it's an opportunity to hear from you. It's an opportunity to be together in unity, worshiping and lifting up your name, Lord. And Lord, we just want to bless you. We just want to bless you, Lord. We just want to know you more. Lord, your word says that those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. And Lord, we're a people, we're a body that's hungry and that's thirsty for more of you. Thirsty to know you more. Thirsty and hungry to know you more, Father, that we might fulfill the purpose of our birth, that we might fulfill your purposes in our life on this earth, oh God. And Lord, in these days, oh God, we just call out to you and we just lift your name and we just say we praise you. We trust you in all things. We trust you in all moments. We know that you have a greater purpose than what we can see and what we understand, Father. And we just clamor to the heavens and we just cry out and we just say, come, come, Holy Spirit, move, fulfill your purposes in these days and in our lives, because you are the reason. You are everything, Father, and you are worthy. You are worthy of our praise tonight, oh God. You are worthy of our worship, Lord Jesus, and we just praise you. Oh, we just praise you, Father. We just glorify in your name, and we just thank you for your presence here tonight. We thank you, Father, for your presence with us each and every minute of each and every day. We thank you that we don't have to be or go anywhere without your presence, oh God. Lord, that we don't have to do anything without your presence, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Father, that we don't have to go to a tabernacle and to a priest and offer sacrifices, Father. Lord, that we can go directly to your throne, because Jesus was the sacrifice that made the way that we can go directly to you and into your presence. And we just thank you for that, Father. We just praise you for the freedom. And your word says that where you are, there is freedom. And we thank you for that freedom. And we just worship you for it tonight, oh God. Woo, we just praise you, Lord. We just praise you. Oh, hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. God is in the house. Hallelujah. You know, there's never a time when he's not in the house. Praise the Lord. Oh, go with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. Everybody knows this story. We're not going to talk about the whole story. I'm going to do a really super brief recap. This is the story of the prodigal son. Everybody knows this story. We are all this son. We have been this son at some point in our life, right? The son goes to his earthly father and says, I want what's mine. I'm out of here. Give me what's owed to me and let me go. And the good father that he was, the loving, generous father that he was, did exactly that. He gave the second son who didn't have, by the Jewish laws, didn't have really an inheritance, didn't deserve an inheritance, but he gave him one anyway and let him go. So he goes off to a far city. You know, he decided he's going to make his own way. He's going to live life by his own rules. He's going to do what he wants to do. He's not going to be under the hand of the Father anymore. You know, I remember thinking, one day I'm going to be the boss of my life, and then I got married. I'm still thinking, one day I'm going to be the boss of my life. We're never really the boss of our life. We're not going to happen. I heard that. But that's what, when we're young, that's what we think, right? One day nobody's going to tell me when I got to go to bed. Nobody's going to tell me I got to eat my veggies. You know, I'm going to do what I want to do because I'm an adult and I can make my own choices. I'll bet that's just what this young man was, just full of himself, full of his own ideas and his own opinions and his own choices. He just didn't know, he wasn't old enough to know that his opinions were worth much, or they weren't worth much, right? Everybody's got opinions and not all of them are worth anything. So here he is. He takes his inheritance and he just shoots off down the road. Much to the father's dismay, I'm sure. So we're going to read verse 17. It says, but when he came to himself. Have you ever had a reckoning moment where you just came to yourself and you realized, this is not okay? You ever had that reckoning moment when you come to yourself and you realize, uh-oh, I'm in trouble? This is where he was. He had squandered everything. And different translations say different things that he had squandered it on. But he had squandered it. And he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Hallelujah. You know, this young man had a revelation. Wherever he was living, whatever he was doing, he had a revelation moment. Have you ever had a revelation moment when suddenly something became so clear that you had such understanding it rocked your world? Here he is living with the pigs, fighting the pigs. Now, I don't know about many of you guys, but pigs can be quite ferocious at mealtime and quite large. I wouldn't want to stick my hand into a trough to try to get what they're getting at. And really, I haven't seen very many pigs that left anything left over. My dad has raised pigs most of my life, or at least my younger life. I guess I'm a lot older than I used to be. So, you know, for the first, you know, half of my life, my dad raised pigs. And you didn't get between them and the food. But here he is, starving to death, watching these pigs eat more than he's eating. And he had a revelation moment. God, I am here dying. These pigs are thriving. And why do I need to be dying? I'll bet in his time there, he began to think over his choices. Because you don't get a revelation moment without steps leading to that revelation moment. You don't get a revelation and understanding moment without understanding where you are and why you're there. So he began to realize, I've made some bad choices. You know, I had everything I needed at my father's house. I had provision. I had extra. I had food. I had companionship. I had love. I was accepted at my father's house, and here no one wants me. They have sent me to the pig pen. That's rejection. None of his highfalutin friends took him in or gave him a hand or fed him after all the feeding of them he had done. Do you know that it doesn't matter how much money you spend on others? It won't necessarily make them love you. And it won't make you love you anymore either. If there was one thing I learned in Mexico, it was this. Money is never the first solution. It might be the easiest, but it's really not the solution. It's a Band-Aid. You know, we were invited to do a children's program in Mexico, and they wanted us to do the food for the program. And so we were excited. We didn't care what we were invited to do. We were excited to do anything, even event cooking for the children. So I'm like, yeah, we'll do this. Sure. What do you cook on? What do you have for a stove? You know, what kind of stuff can I cook? She goes, oh, I have a little Bunsen burner, like warmer thing. How many kids are we having? You know, probably about 35, 40, somewhere in there. Last year we had 50. And you got one little hot burner. She may have knew how to cook for 50 kids on a hot burner. I had no idea, and I was stumped. Now, Lord, I can't do that.
I can't do that. How is she doing this? Year after year in services. Lord, we need to buy her a stove. Lord, I'm just right now praying for the money for a stove. And of course, God gave me that money for a stove. And of course, we went out and we bought a stove. And I cooked for those kids, Scott and I, on a stove. And we made great food and they loved it. And do you know where the stove was put after the program was over? Outside. And do you know what she continued to cook on? A little one burner hot thing. Right? There is another whole sermon in that. And a few months go by and I'm like, aren't you going to use the stove? No, it just takes up so much room at the back of the church. We just thought it would be better to leave it outside. Well, how are you going to use it? Oh, you know, we don't really need it. We don't really need it. But I bought it. And the Lord said, yes, you did. Lord, I asked you for it. And he said, yes, you did. You didn't ask me if that's what you should do, though. There's a difference between asking for something and asking, Lord, is this what I should do? I could have bought pizza. You know, now that I think about it, looking back, I could have just got Little Caesar's pizzas. And the kids would have been in heaven and it would have cost me less than a stove. So a few years later, I go to her house for something we're doing. And there is that beautiful stove. Like, oh, I see you're using the stove finally. Yeah, well, my stove wasn't very good and this one was just sitting out there doing nothing. So I decided to bring it home. That's awesome. That's awesome. Not the first answer was money. You know, later I have thought of multiple ideas, multiple ways I could have handled that so much differently. But, you know, you have a heart of compassion and you have a heart to help. And so sometimes you think money's the best way. It really wasn't the best way in this situation. It didn't better the church. It didn't better the Sunday school program. It didn't better their potlucks or their cooking program or their breakfast program. It didn't better any of that. It made 1 week easier for me. My electric griddle would have done the same thing. But I wasn't thinking about what, for me, I was thinking about helping that church. But that's not really what they needed. And you know, we do that sometimes. So here he is. He's living in this place. Clearly, money isn't the answer. He had that. He burnt through that. And it still led him to the pig pen. And he's having a revelation moment. He's realizing, I've made wrong choices. I have lived poorly. I have made bad decisions to get to this place. And there's nobody here in this city. There is nobody in this world but one who's going to help me, and that's my Father. And now I don't deserve my Father's help. I don't deserve my Father's love. I have insulted him, and I have ruined the inheritance he gave me. I've lost it. I've squandered it. But that's the only place I have left to go. But he knew his Father's heart. He was so sure in his Father's heart. He knew that he could go there and his Father would help him. Because let me tell you, if it was me in that pig pen and I wasn't sure I wouldn't be rejected one more time, how many doors did he knock on? How many places did he look for help before he ended up in the pig pen? I'll bet a lot. Because it takes a lot of rejection and a lot of hurt to be willing to go to the pig pen. So I'll bet he faced a lot of rejection. I'll bet he knocked on a lot of doors looking for help and was told no. So when he had that revelation moment, he had to have known his Father would not reject him, or he wouldn't have gone. Because I'm telling you, it cannot just be me that just has been where they have felt they couldn't take one more rejection. Not one more. Could not live through one more rejection. Through one more time of being told, nothing for you here, son. He knew. Oh, praise the Lord. He knew he could go to Daddy. He knew his Father loved him no matter what he had done. And so he did a couple of really important things. First, he had this revelation moment. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. He came to himself. He got to the end of himself. Let's say it that way. He got to the end of himself. The end of his decisions. The end of his will. The end of wanting to do it his way. He got so far to the end, he was willing to turn to God. He was willing to hear the voice of God, to hear the voice of reason. He had no hope of fixing things himself. He saw the error of his ways and his decisions, and he began to reflect, and he began to listen to God. He had no hope left, no possibility of fixing this himself. He was at the end. Hallelujah. He knew he had it good at his Father's house. He knew he couldn't stay and live the way he was. He was weary of his burden. He was weary of his choices. He was tired of the way things were, and he longed for the comfort of his Father's house. Do you ever get weary? Do you ever get tired? Do you ever feel like you are at the end of yourself? That's actually a really great place to be. Because when we are at the end of ourselves, we are at the beginning of what God's going to do. Because he's not going to fight you for his way in your life. He has to wait until you've run through your courses, run through your will, reach the end of your strength, and then say, okay, what do you want me to do, God? Because isn't that what we do? We're like a horse in training that takes a hold of that bit. Now, I don't know how many of you are horse people, but when we used to train our horses, I grew up on a horse ranch, not just a pig farm. And when we were training those horses, and sometimes I had a horse, and he was very stubborn and willful, and he'd just get done. He'd just decide he was done, and maybe that's before he ever even got started. And you'd put that bit in his mouth, and he'd just take a hold of that bit with his teeth and just chomp down on it, and you couldn't move the reins. He would just hold that bit in his mouth, and he'd stretch that neck out, and then he'd just start running. He's like, I'm going to teach you a lesson. Hold on, sister. And you couldn't stop him. You couldn't turn his head. You couldn't pull him. I didn't have the strength to fight that horse into submission. Now, my sister, there wasn't a horse she couldn't fight into submission. She was stronger willed than the horses. I wasn't. I didn't have the heart for it. So I'd have to start coaxing him, you know, come on, baby, it's okay. Whoa, slow down, big guy. It's okay. Whoa. And I'd have to start coaxing that horse. I'm holding on for dear life, just praying he's going to listen. Whoa, easy, buddy. And, you know, you can watch their ears. And so pretty soon one of those ears would kind of turn up and around. So I knew he was listening to me. It's okay, buddy. Come on, let's just have some fun. We don't have to train today. Let's just trail ride. Let's just have a good time. And he'd start settling down. And the minute he'd release that bit, you could feel it because those reins would kind of slacken up a little bit. And he'd drop that head down and pull it back up a little bit. And suddenly, oh, here we go. Okay. And that's it. You know, we don't touch those reins. Okay, walk. Let's walk. Because he knew words and sound commands. And so, okay, come on, big guy. Let's walk. But yeah, take it easy. Let's walk this out, buddy. Yeah, we can walk this out. And he'd finally start slowing down and relaxing, and he'd start walking with me. And I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus. And I'd just pat him, and I'd stop, and I'd get off. Whew, glory to God, that was a real ride from you know where. And I'd just start patting him a little. Okay, come on, buddy. We can do this. And I'd get a few breaths, and then I'd get back on that horse and just sit there hoping. Okay, he's not going to take that bit again. We're going to be good. We're going to be good. And then we'd start walking. You know, we're kind of like that horse sometimes. God's got to just let us run until we're ready to listen to the sweet talk. Sweetheart, you don't have to go this way. Honey, things don't have to be like this. This isn't what I want for you. Honey, don't go there. Beep, beep, beep. Back up, Janine. Back up, beep. Back up, Janine. This is going to be a pitfall. Back up, Janine. Have you ever felt that way? That's what we do to the Lord sometimes. I pray I'm not the only one, although I pray I am. I pray you're all way better than me, and this would never be you. But sometimes we get a bone, and we just got to run it down. We're not letting go of this idea. We're not letting go of this plan. We're not letting go of our way. until we've reached the pig pen, and then there's nothing left. There's nothing our way anymore all of a sudden. This wasn't my plan. This wasn't my idea. This isn't my way, the pig pen. But that's where our decisions and our running with it got us. And here he is. He's weary. He's tired. He's at the end. He's got no hope. And now he's having a revelation moment. You know, in Isaiah 40, it says, he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. He had utterly fallen. He had no strength. He was weary. He was dying of hunger. His heart was broken. He'd been betrayed. He'd been abandoned. He'd been rejected. And here he was in the pig pen, lost, hopeless, and dying. Hallelujah. It says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. We cannot wait on the Lord when we have taken a hold of the bit and we're running with it. That's not a waiting on the Lord place. A waiting on the Lord is when we cease our own actions, when we cease our own will, when we quiet ourselves and just begin to focus on Him. Focus on what He can do. Focus on who He is, not on who we are, what we should be, how we should be treated. But when we focus on Him, okay, God, I'm in a pig pen now. Yep, that wasn't your plan. Mine either, by the way. Just want you to know that. So from here, I'm going to just start trusting you a little bit. I'm open for your plan, Lord. Because all of mine have failed. All of mine are gone. I'm in the pig pen. Clearly, I have not made the right choices here. So I am just going to focus on you. Lord, I'm here in the pig pen, starving to death, hungry, waiting for you to tell me what to do. And revelation comes. Go to your father's house. His servants eat better than you. His servants are clothed better than you. His servants have provision. You've got nothing. Run to daddy. Run to your father. Woo! Hallelujah! It says, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This young man was weak, weary, heartsick. He needed a change. He wanted a change. He was ready for a change. And revelation came. First thing he did, he got to the end of himself, the end of his will. The second thing he did, he had a revelation of truth. He had to accept truth. He had to hear truth. Do you know that when we're so busy running and fighting where God's trying to direct us, we got that bit in our mouth and we won't let go. We don't take direction well. God can't steer the reins. He can't move the head because we're running with it. You know, I had to just let my horse go in the direction he was going until I talked him down. Do you remember that horse, Mom? I loved that horse. Absolutely loved that horse. Right? But he could be a bugger. And I had to talk him down. And it had to be all sweet and pretty words. He had to hear in my voice that I wasn't about to whoop his booty. Because I had that quirt in my hand. And let me tell you, I've tried a few battles of whooping that horse's booty. He was 1,000 pounds, and I'll have none of that. He would buck, he would kick, he would turn and try to bite your leg. He could be a stink butt. And I had to just sweet talk him. And that's what God does to us. He sweet talks us. We're running with that bit in our mouth, and the whole time he's saying, hey, sweetie pie. You don't have to go that way. This can be okay. This doesn't have to be a bad thing here. I've got a good plan. I've got a good plan. We're going to have a great time together. Don't run out. Don't run. Don't go that way. Come on, you can do this. I'm talking to you. Let me tell you what I have planned for you. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to bless you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Doesn't matter where you're at right now. I've got a future before you. I've got hope before you. I've got plans before you. Now just slow right on down. Let's just change the course of this ride. Pretty soon that horse had just calmed down, listening to my little soft voice, my pleading prayers. Lord, speak to this horse. Lord, touch this horse. Lord, stop this horse. I'm in trouble. Once we be still, once we stop taking hold of the control and we surrender it back to the Lord, He begins speaking to us and revelation comes. But we have to act on that revelation. We have to get to the end of ourselves. We have to hear the truth. Those weren't my plans for you. Those weren't my choices for you. We're going to go back this way. We're going to go to the desert. I know the desert sounds like a scary place, but I'm going to be with you. Don't be afraid of the giants in the land. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be right there with you. I am going to give this inheritance into your hand. Don't look at who is inhabiting this land. It is yours. I have called it yours. I have ordained it yours. Trust me. We have to trust Him. We have to receive the truth. And then we have to act on that revelation. If we have a revelation and we do nothing with it, it has benefited us nothing. If you hear the truth, if you know the truth and you don't act on it, the truth has done nothing for you. It can only set you free if you believe it. It can only set you free if you act on it. Just because you know something, it doesn't mean that it's going to help you. You can know a lot of things and do nothing about any of it. And you can end up in a pig pen. Where He did. Hallelujah. The third thing, He took action. He separated Himself from where He was. He was weary. He was weak. He was tired. He was starving. And when He got that revelation, He got Himself up out of that mud and He walked out of that pig pen and He hit the road. He had no strength to live. He was starving to death, but He walked to His Father's house. If we will get up and just walk to our Father when we are in that place, woo, if we will just hear the revelation, if we will just see the truth and we will act on it, it will lead us right to our Father every time. Every time, praise the Lord. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Do you know what a revelation moment is? It is a renewing of your mind moment. It is where your thoughts change. It is where you take a hold of truth and knowledge and you act on it. Hallelujah. You act on it. Woo! Praise the Lord. And that gives strength and that gives power and it takes you right to the will of God. Hallelujah. He went back to His Father's house. And the evidence of His mind transformation was He left where He was. He changed the circumstances by leaving where He shouldn't have been, where He was never meant to be. He got up and He walked out. How many times, if we just take that revelation moment, that we could just get up and walk out of where we were? Walk out of the pig pen. Walk out of the fire. Walk out of wherever it is you are that the Lord does not want you to be. Not that God didn't use that pig pen. Oh, He used that pig pen. He's used every pig pen in my life for revelation moments. They were awesome. But there's always a time to stop the pig pen moment. The pig pen moment always comes to an end. We have to step out of it and act on the revelation that God has brought into our heart. We have to begin to live the truth that He has revealed. He had all He needed in His Father's house. He had everything He could have hoped for in His Father's house. His Father wasn't the hard taskmaster that He once thought He was. His Father was caring and loving and was the only one that would change and make a difference for His life. And He had to go back to the Father. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, it doesn't matter what situation you're facing, what trial, what pig pen that you are having to live through. If you will walk out of it when the revelation comes, when you wake up and realize, oh, this is a pig pen moment. I'm having a revelation here, and I'm about to step right on out of it. Hallelujah. The evidence of mind transformation was He left where He was. His thoughts were changed. He didn't stay there crying and begging for God to send help. He got up and He walked out. Hallelujah. How many times are we in a place where God is calling us to step out and yet we're there praying and we're crying, I want someone else. I heard this story once. There was a great flood in the land and everywhere was flooded. And this man ended up on the top of his roof of his house. He had nowhere else to go. The water had flooded his whole house. He couldn't go back into the house. He barely made it out. He's sitting on the top and he's on the roof and he's praying, Lord, send me help. I need help. Somebody comes by in a little canoe. Hey, do you need help up there? No, I'm good. Thank you. I'm waiting on God. Okay. Little canoe raft thing paddles away. Then sends somebody else in a little bit bigger boat. Hey, you need help up there, buddy? No, it's okay. I'm waiting on God. He's got this. I know He's got this. All the time, the house is continuing to sink. Well, off that little boat goes. Well, comes a little bit bigger boat. Hey, buddy, you need some help. You went down off that. Nope. God's got this. I know it. I'm waiting on God to send me help. It's okay. You just go on your way. The man drowns. House sunk, man drowns. He gets to heaven. And he's standing before the Lord. And he said, Lord, I prayed for you to help me. Why didn't you help me? I sent you a canoe. I sent you a speedboat. I sent you a motorboat. And you didn't take any of them. I did help you. What were you waiting for? How many times are we waiting for God to get us out of where we are? And we don't see the help He has sent. We don't see the lifeboat. We don't see the raft. We don't see the speedboat, the motorboat, whatever boat you want it to be. We don't recognize that God's trying to help us. Oh, no, this isn't the help I wanted. I'm waiting for something better, bigger, fancier. Oh, no, this isn't for me. No. God's got something much better than this for me. I'm telling you. How many times do we miss it because we're waiting for God to come in a way that we didn't expect? You know, Israel missed Jesus because they were waiting for a king to come as a warrior. But not a spiritual warrior that Jesus was, a warrior that would just wipe out the Romans. They missed Him because they didn't recognize the real warrior that He was. He didn't come in the manner that they wanted Him to come. And so even though they knew who He was, and I don't have any doubt today that they knew who Jesus was then, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, I believe they all knew. But that He didn't come the way they wanted Him to, and they didn't want that. They didn't want a change of the status quo. They wanted to wipe out the Romans and become the rulers. That wasn't the plan. And they missed it all. How many times do we miss things because we don't accept that revelation moment? We don't get up and walk out. You know, we get weary. We get battle weary. Every day is a spiritual battle. If you are not in a spiritual battle every day, I would check your salvation. Because I am telling you, it is a spiritual battle every day. From the minute my eyes open until the minute my eyes and mouth close at night. We need to ask ourselves, are we done with having it our way? Are we at the end of ourselves? Are we ready? Is it time to run to the Father who gives strength to the weary? You know, in Matthew 11:28 and 29, it says, come to me,
all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. We always forget that learn from me part. Yes, I want your yoke. Yes, I want to give you my burden, but we don't necessarily want to learn. Do you know it's a horrible burden to hate? Do you know that is a heaviness and a weariness, and it's like a cancer? It will grow in you and grow in you until every minute is a struggle to breathe, because all you can think about and focus on is all this list of people you hate and all the things they do that you hate and all the things they've done that you're never going to forget, never going to let go of. It's exhausting to hate. Learn from me, Jesus says. What does Jesus say? Love your enemies. Love those who wrongfully use you or spitefully use you. Love them. I don't think so. No, I don't think so. Learn from me. Jesus saying, learn my way. Learn the way of peace. Learn the way of love. Learn the way of mercy. Learn the way of grace. That's why his yoke and burden is easy. Because he loves so greatly. And he forgives even greater still. Learn from me, he says. Learn from me. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He will not reject you. He is for you. He loves you. He died so that you could live and see the wonders of God. I want to see his power revealed in my life. I want to see the wonders of God in my life. I want to feel and see and know his power. I want him to use me for his glory. Oh, there's nothing I want more than for his glory to be revealed in this earthen vessel. Hallelujah. I don't want to live an ordinary life. I don't want to be just ordinary. I want to live an extraordinary life, because Holy Spirit living in me is extraordinary. His character is extraordinary. Who he is extraordinary. What he does is extraordinary. There is nothing ordinary about Jesus, about the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. There is nothing ordinary about the God we serve. He is extraordinary. He is a wonder, and he lives in you and me. Hallelujah. Joshua 3:5. Go with me to Joshua 3:5. It says, and Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Oh, hallelujah. There is two parts to this verse. The first of all, it is sanctify yourselves. Be separate. Be separated holy unto God. Be dedicated to God. Dedicate yourself to the Lord. Be holy. Get your sins taken care of. Separate your life for the Lord. For tomorrow he will do wonders among you. The key to wonders among us is sanctification. To be sanctified before the Lord. We can't just live in our will and our way and do what we want and have things the way we want them. Sanctification is the act of setting something or someone apart as holy. The act of purification and dedicating oneself to the service of God. Are you dedicated to the service of God? Have you purified your life? Have you purified your hearts? Have you purified your minds to the dedication of God's service? That is the key to wonders among us. That is the key to seeing his wonders among us. How many want to see his wonders among us? Sanctification is the road. Sanctification is the road. It's the way we need to go. We can't live how we want to live and think that it's okay with God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The key to seeing the wonders of God in our lives is to be sanctified. Joshua was preparing the people for what was to come. They were on the edge of the promised land. They were getting there. Whoo, they were getting there. And they were about to cross the Jordan and go in to the land that God was giving them as an inheritance. But it was filled with the enemy. And God was going to run the enemy off before them. And they had to cross the Jordan. And God was about to part the Jordan. So for the second time, they could cross the land on dry ground and then go into the land of the enemy and take it, because the Lord was going to run the enemy off before them. So they had to sanctify themselves from where they had come. They had to purify themselves. They had to rededicate their hearts to the moment and to the purpose of God. Hallelujah. Whew. Because God had big plans. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. This young man living in the pig pen had to separate himself from where he was. He had to have a sanctifying moment. He had to come to the Father. And he had to ask the Father to forgive him for what he had done. He couldn't take the pig pen with him. But he had to leave the pig pen behind. And he had to go to the Father. You know, that pig pen represents everything in our lives that are not of God. It represents our hearts, our thoughts, our actions, our mouths, our words, the way we treat each other, the way we love or we don't love. But it also represents our actions, the things that we do that are ungodly. The things that we do that Jesus would not do. If you have a habit, if you have something in your life that you think, would Jesus do this? And if you could say, I don't think so. If you've got something in your life that you do that you're ashamed of, if you've got secrets that you keep because you don't want anybody to know, because if they knew your secrets, they'd hate you. Those are the things you need to give. Those are the pig pens of our lives. If we're holding unforgiveness, if we're holding anger, those are the pig pens of our lives. Now, you know, people get so confused about forgiveness. They want to try to put it on the person that they have to forgive, like you can somehow be worthy of forgiveness or they somehow deserve it. It's not about that. It's not about them. It's not about what they did. It's about your heart. It's about you. Forgiveness has nothing to do with what they did, other than that was the action that caused unforgiveness to grow in you. But it's not about them, and it's not for them. Forgiveness is for you so that it breaks the chains of what they tied to you in whatever it was they did to you. You can't break that chain without forgiving them. You can't be free until you forgive. Forgiveness isn't for them, it's for you and it's for me. It's not because they deserve it, it's because Jesus deserves it. He deserves me to be sanctified, and I cannot be sanctified, I cannot be holy, and I cannot be set apart and ordained for His will if I am walking in unforgiveness. Hallelujah. I want His wonders, His miracles in my life. To see that, I have to walk out of the pig pen. I have to ask for forgiveness for the things in my heart and in my life that do not line up to the way of Jesus. Learn from me. Learn from me. Are we learning from Him or are we just learning about Him? That is two separate things. To learn about Him, I can know everything about Him and yet it not change my life. I don't know how it would be possible, but it's possible. But to learn from Him means to emulate Him, to follow Him, to live as He lived, to do what He did. That's another whole ball game. He's saying, learn from me. Live as I lived. Love as I loved. Forgive as I forgive. Show mercy as I showed mercy. Give grace as I give grace. Do what I do. so that my wonders can be seen among you. Do you know it's a miracle to forgive? It really is. It really is. It's a wonder of God. But we can. There is nothing, nothing we cannot forgive if we walk it out through Holy Spirit. I am telling you, there is nothing we cannot forgive. I have found in my life, and I am not a Pop-Tart. I have not had a princess life. I have been through many things. I have known betrayal. I have known what it is to be rejected. I have known what it is to be pushed out of a church organization. I have known what it is to have people hate me. I have known what it is to have people not want me. I have known what it is to be hurt, to be heartbroken. And in all the things I have walked through in my life, I can tell you there is nothing that is impossible to forgive when we walk through it in the Holy Spirit. There is nothing we have to hold on to from our past. There is nothing in the past worth holding on to. Learn from me. What if Jesus held on to the cross? What if he held that against us every day? What if he carried that against us? Yeah, he went to the cross. Yeah, he died there, but he hates you for it. Right? But isn't that what we do for people? We hold them there. We don't let them down. We don't let them go. Jesus says, learn from me. Learn from me. Live like I lived. And the yoke is easy and the burden is light. Do you know when you don't hold grudges and you don't hold hate, there is so much peace. There is so much peace. I want everybody to love me. I do. Oh, I do. I do. I want to be loved. But do you know what? If the world rejects me, it's okay because God loves me. Jesus suffered rejection. Who more should there have ever been to love than Jesus? Who deserved love more than Jesus? But Jesus said, the world rejected me and the world will reject you because of me. Learn from me. He didn't hold it against them. He loved them anyway. Just like the Father let his Son go, he gave him his inheritance. He gave him what he had stored up for him. He gave him his portion and let him go. Acts 3:19 says, repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. This is a two-part verse again, just like the last one we read about, sanctification. It says, repent and be converted. Repent. Come to know Jesus. Be converted. Become a disciple of Jesus. Leave the pig pen. Accept the revelation moment. Accept the truth of the revelation moment and follow Jesus right out of that pig pen. Because then your sins are blotted out. But here's the best part. So that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Do you know that times of refreshing come when we are in the presence of the Lord? And if we are in the pig pen, we cannot be in the presence of the Lord. We can have a revelation moment that will lead us to his presence. But as long as we stay in the sin of the pig pen, we cannot get refreshed. Because refreshing comes from repentance, the forgiveness of sins. And we can't become sanctified until we have been forgiven of our sins. Hallelujah. Sanctification and repentance, they go together. And from sanctification, oh, we get the wonders of God. We get the wonders of Him in our life, the miracles of Him in our life. And from repentance, we get refreshing. Because when we come in to His presence, we become refreshed. His presence is refreshing. If you are struggling, maybe you're not in the pig pen, but you are struggling. If you will go into his presence, you will be refreshed. When I am at a struggling moment, I go to my bed and I put on worship music and I stay there until I'm right again. Until I'm fixed from time in his presence. until I am refreshed, until I am strengthened. There have been nights I put little earphones in my ears and I listen to worship music all night long. On trips when Scott would come to Washington, we had this TV in our room and I would put it on worship music and I would worship all night long until I was fixed, until I was laying on my bed in a puddle of tears and goo and just saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We're there, we're there, we're there, I'm there, thank you. I'm at the place where everything in me is fixed. I'm at the place where every weariness is washed away. I'm at the place where every burden rolls off my back. I'm at the place, Jesus, where I'm learning from you. I'm at that place. My burden has gotten light. I'm in touch with you, Holy Spirit. You're refreshing me. Oh, praise the Lord. And when we leave his presence, we feel fixed. We feel different. I have been to counselors, we've been to marriage counseling over the years, and I have never left a counselor's office where I felt better than when I leave the presence of Jesus. I'm not saying counseling is not a good thing, I fully believe in it. But I'm telling you that Holy Spirit counseling is, there is nothing like it. You get into his presence, whoo, praise the Lord, and everything is refreshed. The weariness goes. The burden is changed out. The tiredness leaves. The exhaustion, the mental pain, the heartache, it all goes. The second this young man changed, repentance entered into his heart. The second he walked out of that pen, repentance began its work in his heart. The second he ran into his father and he pleaded for forgiveness, repentance was doing its work and refreshing in his life began. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 43 says, it's 43:18. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. You shall not know it. I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the fields will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And this is why he does it. To give drink to my people, my chosen, this people I have formed for myself. They shall declare my praise. No matter where you are, remember, God causes rivers to flow in the desert or a river to come into a pig pen that you might know him, that you might drink, that you might have a revelation moment that might take you from where you're at back to where God wants you to be. What is greater than that? Let go of what's behind you. Focus your eyes on what is ahead of you, on who is before you. Sanctify your lives. Oh, repentance is not an ugly thing. It is a wonderful thing. It is a joyous thing. It is a wondrous thing. Because from repentance comes refreshing, and from sanctification comes the wonders, the miracles, and the power of God into our lives. If we as a people, as a body of Christ, want to see his miracles, want to see his marvelous things, want to see his wonders, we must remember sanctification and repentance and walk in it. We can't ignore it. It isn't a thing just for Sunday mornings. It's a way of life. It's a way of life. It's a way of awakening every morning. Lord, forgive me for whatever I've done. I dedicate, I sanctify my life before you today. I am yours. I am for you. I am ordained. I am separated. I separate myself for your will, Father, for your will and for your purposes each day anew and fresh. And every night before we go to bed, Lord, forgive me anything I've done in this day, Lord. Forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, Father, and help me to walk in righteousness because I am your son. Hallelujah. You know, he won't reject you. Oh, praise the Lord. He won't reject you. He is for you. He is for you. He is for you. And Jesus says, learn from me. Learn from me. Learn from me. Hallelujah. Oh, let's just pray right now. Oh, precious Heavenly Father, if you're watching out there tonight and you don't know Jesus, this is the time. This is the time. He prepared this message just for you. He prepared this word just for you. And it's simple. Just raise your hands. Lord, I need you. I believe Jesus is the Son of God and I need you as my Savior. Forgive me of my sins, Father. Work in my life. Sanctify me for your work. Sanctify me for your purposes and help me to walk in your ways. Fill me with your Spirit and use my life for your glory. In the name of Jesus, it's that easy. It's that easy. Praise your name. I just thank you for tuning in tonight. I thank you for being a part of a New Beginnings family. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God fill you with fresh fire. God fill you with hunger and God fill you with thirst. And we hope you come and join us right here, live in person at a New Beginning. God bless you. Have a great night.